All right, we're so glad you're here today, and we believe God has some good things for us here. We're going to talk today about what is a hero, and we know Friday, was 9/11, where it was the anniversary, the 19th anniversary, and you know, 9/11 is a day that for most of us will never be forgotten, and it's a day that some people would like to forget what they went through. You know, evil came knocking on America's door that day, and many people lost a lot of their loved ones, you know. And today I just kind of want to remember that a little bit and kind of talk about it in a sense, because it happened 19 years ago, but I think we all can probably remember probably where we're at that day and what we were doing. I know I do. Close to 3,000 people lost their lives, as well as 6,000 wounded. And that day that the Twin Towers were hit, and the Pentagon, and then another flight went down in Pennsylvania that was heading towards D.C. that was probably going towards the Capitol, they say. And I don't want to perpetuate the hate that initiated this event, but I want to acknowledge the response that day to a lot of that hate, and that's talking about sacrificial love. And today I want to remember the heroes, and I believe we still have heroes today. The scripture I want to look at is found in John chapter 15, verse 13. And it says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you for the love of God, that agape love, Lord, that you put in each of our hearts. Lord, we know that we live in troubling times. And we know that love seems like it's been lost in many ways. But Lord, we ask you to reignite our passion and our love today for people, and especially the lost, those who are far from you. Lord, I pray right now for the gift that you put inside of me, that you stir it up. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And we bind Satan from any distraction or disturbance that he tries to bring here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So that was a tough day, but what sticks out to me is I don't think about the evil. I mean, it was there, but to me it was true love responds. And that was kind of the love that was shown that day in the lives of many people who gave up their life. Because to me, sometimes love is just a word until we're called to act upon it. It's so easy to throw the word love around. You know, but then when we act upon that word, that's when it really, I believe God gets the glory, and that's when really lives are touched and lives are changed, is when we act upon that word. Now that word agape, we know, is talking about a sacrificial love. It's not the kind of love that if you love me, I'll love you back. You know, that's the kind of love that's in our culture, and that kind of love, you know, can only go so far. But this kind of love goes all the way. And really, that's the kind of love that I believe that God wants to put in each of our hearts. You know, to me, this kind of love throughout history of the United States is some of the moral fabric that kind of held and still holds our society together. We see so much evil and so much bad in the world today, especially in our country, the hatred that's going on and the things that are going on. But you know, true love, the kind of love that Christians are called to act upon, that's what really holds us all together. See, our nation is at a crossroads, and there's a time that we really need to start to see this kind of love start to manifest. And it's going to take us as a church and the church body of Christ in whole to really respond to our culture in a way that will glorify Jesus Christ. You know, right now we have people arguing on Facebook and everywhere about which lives matter the most. But Jesus answered that in the Bible when he said all lives matter to God. Every life matters to God. Even lives that we don't like. Even lives of those terrorists that day, that horrific day. God loves, God cares, and he wants to see lives change. God desires for none to perish, for all to come into a relationship with him. And we have to remember that. Because so many times, I believe, as a culture, And we allow it to come into our life that we pick sides. And either my side's good and your side's bad, and that's usually where how it plays out, right? I think we'd all kind of admit that to some degree. And it's important that you and I understand that we need to do better than that, okay? You know, there's so many bad things going on. The news is full of it, you know. I mean, really, the news is full of it. That's prophetic right there. It's full of bad news, but it's also full of itself, you know, where some of the things that it propagates. And what we need to see is that, you know, they do that because people tune in to a lot of hate. That draws things. I mean, now it's nice to have a good story, a touchy-feely story, you know, on there, but a lot of times what drives people to want to watch, and we pick our sides, is we find somebody that believes the way we do, and then we want them to do it. And see what happens, and then we get kind of stirred up, and especially when we hear somebody else, they point out and they pull different words out of things, and it's just a mess. And I believe God has something better for you and me, because God loves us. And I believe God wants you and I to make a difference. I believe God's called us to be heroes. We're a hero. That's inside of you, and that's inside of me. And it's something that God has put there. And He wants us to rise up and to be the generation that sees change. And it's talking about that greater love. Now, that scripture we looked at, you know, it says that you lay your life down for friends. You know, most of us would probably say that, yes, I would die for my spouse. Sometimes you say you might kill your spouse, but you don't really mean it, right? No, you really would say, I would die for my spouse. I would die for my kids. Maybe a couple neighbors. But that person down the street, I don't think so. But see, that's what God wants to turn in our hearts. It says, you know, we need to be willing to lay our life down for not just our friends and family, but also just for people, you know, that's around us. And that may, I just want to clarify, that don't mean that maybe you and I is going to have to make that ultimate decision sometime, where it's life or death, that if we're going to make this next move, we're dying. But I think the idea that if you and I could get to the place that we're wanting to not just die a hero, but want to live a hero, be a hero, a champion in your neighborhood or at your work or in your community, and to be able to walk in that agape kind of love, you know, to be able to see things transformed. You know, maybe, you know, say a kind word to somebody who is very mouthy on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? You know, things like that. You know, we've all been tempted to hit send, you know what I mean? You know, thank God there's a buffer. I mean, how many are glad that your thoughts aren't transferred to Facebook? You know, sometimes, I mean, my Lord, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we, sometimes? But thank God there, you have to actually take time to type it, then you have to actually hit send, so hopefully there's a buffer there, and the Holy Spirit, you know, helps us so we don't say things and perpetuate things that are not glorifying to God. Because as Christians, you know, people are looking to us for the answers, and we have to be the people that have that. You know, 9/11 revealed two different things that day. It revealed the worst of human nature, and it also revealed the best of human nature, of what the response was to those people who were in trouble and suffering. See, the worst is when people allow hate to dominate their decision making. And we have that going on today. You know, with all the problems that we have of burning down cities and doing things, it's just an overreaction. And they're allowing, you know, the enemy, the devil, because he's the author of hate. I mean, burning down something's not going to make your life better. You know what I'm saying? You know, we need to, yes, there needs to be change, but the way that we do it, you know, is very important. And then the best was revealed when people chose to respond in love and put others' lives ahead of their own. You know, so what is a hero? Here's some ideas that I've had. Heroes stand up while others are sitting. Everybody sees the problem, but a hero stands up and they respond to the situation. To me, no one is born a hero. They are forged by showing courage in the face of fear. Those policemen, those firemen, those people that ran into those burning buildings, you know, that was a decision they didn't just make that day. That was a decision they made years ago when they chose to enter into a profession where that any given moment they may be called upon to lay their life down. And I believe that, you know, you and I, as we live our life, you know, I think we need to kind of make those decisions of what we want to do with what we have. You know, what God's given us. God's given us each different things and stuff that we can do. But I believe that we're all heroes in a way, and that God wants us to rise up. See, a hero is usually running the opposite way of the crowd. So heroes run in when others run out. I remember the time down in Texas where people were protesting against the police and how they hate them and all these different things. Then all of a sudden, I think there were some, either one or two snipers started shooting at people and shooting, you know, the people that were protesting. And while the protesters were running out, the police ran in to protect the very people that were protesting against them. And some of the policemen lost their life that day. See, that's what a hero does. It puts aside our petty differences because somebody doesn't think the way that I do or believe the way that I do. We choose to overlook that and do what we know that is right in our heart and what will glorify God. So most people who died a hero, I believe, live like heroes. And I think of David. You know, David in the Old Testament, you know, I just picture that little feller. I mean, he wasn't that big compared to Goliath especially, but he was a young man anyway, picking up that sling and grabbing some stones and just charging right at that giant. All the men who had all kinds of weaponry and all these different things and swords and shields and spears, you know, they were out cowering in the back. They had the same opportunity that day to be a hero, but they chose not to. Only David, because it was inside of him, that he knew that he wanted to stick up for the living God. And he chose to challenge that giant. And we know how the story turned out. You know, David, you know, did a very heroic thing that day. And it was very powerful. And it changed a lot of people's lives. So as those policemen and those firefighters, you know, ran into those towers that day, you know, they knew they probably wouldn't make it out, but they went anyway. And that's sometimes what we got to do. Sometimes we don't feel like doing things, but we got to do it anyway. See, it's hard to imagine today that, you know, just 19 years later in our culture. I mean, 19 years ago, we were celebrating these people that were, you know, serving mankind and trying to help. But today, our culture has went so far to the other way that now we make villains out of them. Now, I'm saying that in the fact that we know the problem is that the mistake we make is when we blame the whole for the actions of a few. And I do not deny the fact there needs to be change. And I'm going to get political here a little bit just for one or two sentences. I believe the police need to police themselves. They have some investigative skills or they wouldn't be a policeman. I'll be honest with you, I've worked a lot around a lot of different people in my day. And you can tell a racist within a day or two. Or you can tell somebody that's not wanting to get along with other people and they shouldn't be in that position. And they need to weed them out. And that's what needs to be done. And it's important. And pro or anti-union, whichever way you do that, they need to get that fixed because it's causing a lot of problems in our culture. There's a lot more good police than there are bad ones. But everybody's getting the blame. And we need to, as a culture, be able to recognize that. See, a hero knows that every time they step into a situation, it may be a one-way trip, but they punch that ticket anyway. And that's what we need to understand. Today, we celebrate other kinds of heroes. I mean, a lot of people are into sports heroes. All these things, I'm not as much, but today I want to remember the heroes that day of 9/11. I'm going to read about a couple of them. I'll try to do it briefly. You know, just a few minutes after United Flight 175 struck the South Tower at the World Trade Center, a 24-year-old Wells Crowther, called his mother and calmly left a voicemail saying, "Mom, this is Wells. I want you to know I'm okay." Crowther was an equities trader at the Sandler O'Neill & Partners on the 104th floor. But after that call, the man who was a volunteer firefighter in his teens made his way down to the 78th floor sky lobby and became a hero to strangers known as the man in the red bandana. Many of you probably heard this story. Amid the smoke and chaos, Crowther helped injured and disoriented office workers to safety, risking his own life in the process. Though they couldn't see much through the haze, those he saved recalled a tall figure with a red bandana to shield his lungs and mouth. How many know what wearing a mask is like today? You know what I mean? He was wearing a mask, just like many people do today. He had come down from the 78th floor lobby and alcove in the building to express elevators and meant to speed up the trips, but they were probably deactivated. In what's been described as a strong authority of voice, Crowther directed the survivors to their stairway and encouraged them to help others while he carried an injured woman up on his back. After bringing her 15 floors down to safety, he made his way back up to help others. "Everyone who can stand, stand now," Crowther told survivors, and while directing them to a stairway exit. "If you can help others, do so." "He is definitely my guardian angel," someone said. "Because of him, I wouldn't be sitting here today." And then Crowther is credited with saving at least a dozen people that day, and his body was later recovered alongside firefighters in a stairwell, heading back up the tower with the Jaws of Life rescue tool. So he could have stopped. He saved some, but he chose to keep going. That day, you know, a hero stood up inside of him, and he went and saved many lives. Another was Special Agent Leonard Hatton. Was on his way to work that morning when he saw smoke and fire coming from the North Tower. He responded immediately, even though it wasn't his task with responding to an emergency. From the roof of the Marriott Hotel, he reported the second plane crashing into the South Tower. He then entered one of the towers, helping to evacuate victims as the towers fell. He radioed the FBI and relayed that he was seeing one of the supervisors recalled, then tried to pitch in and help as he could. For Hatton, who was 45, that meant going in to the burning buildings and getting people out. "He didn't have to do that, but that was my husband," is what his wife said. He joined right in with the fire department to help people out. See, he was a veteran of the Marine Corps, a volunteer firefighter, and had a wife and four children. He must have been an extraordinary man fighting fires as a volunteer firefighter, fighting for freedom as a Marine, fighting crime as an FBI agent, and finally, fighting to save lives when it wasn't his responsibility. When everyone else was running out, he was running in. And lastly, I want to talk about the plane, Flight 93. You know, 40 people that day, it says they voted to take back their plane in order to stop the terrorist plan. See, they had been on the phone with family members. They kind of knew what was going on. They heard about the other towers getting hit with planes, so they knew that their plane was destined to do something like that also. And what they did that day is they voted. And they voted that day kind of how they were going to die. They voted that they were going to try to take the plane back. They chose to die as heroes rather than let evil have its way that day. And that's sometimes what we need to choose. See, the devil cannot take from you what we freely give. He can't take it. If we really freely choose to give our life, then that is something that's going to glorify God. That single act of bravery, they say, probably saved over 1,000 lives. The last thing that was heard over the phone that day was Todd Beamer. And he said, "Let's roll." That's something that he always said in life to his kids when it's time to go. But he told his compadres there that let's go. And then they attacked their attackers. And we know they was able to stop that plane. It crashed out in a field rather than at our nation's capital. And see, those are just some of the heroes. Everyday people that were just thrown into a situation that they had to respond to. And see, sometimes you and I are thrown into circumstances and situations. You know, it's how we respond is very important. And that talks about the ultimate sacrifice. See, I would like to say as Christians that we should, deep down inside, have sort of a feeling or sort of an unction or a drawing that says that we will place other people's lives above our own. I really believe that. I always have since I've been born again. Now, I've never been called upon to punch that ticket. But in my heart and in my mind, I've already made that decision that I would rather lay my life down and let God get the glory than to live as a coward, bound up by fear. And that is something I think that we all need to come to terms with in our life. See, when we help others, we're really helping ourselves. And that's the important thing that God's called us to do. And when we lay our life down for others is when we are most like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ laid his life down for you and me. He was our example. He was the one that wants to show us how that we need to respond. And it's that kind of love, that agape love, that caused him to do that. It's the same kind of love that you and I can tap into. And, you know, I believe that as we think today a little bit about it, what we've kind of discussed here, that we should honor those who have given their all. You know, we're living in a world that where the negative makes the headlines, correct? And today, I want us to remember the good that is in all of us, the good that comes out when needed, and that good that is needed now. We need good people to step up and to stand out from the crowd. And I believe there's a little bit of a hero inside of all of us that's wanting to get out. So as I close here, I want us to remember there's no greater love than when we lay our life down for other people. I believe we have this motive in our heart, we will have a life that really means something to glorify God. And we shouldn't wait until death is thrown upon us to decide to live like a hero. But I believe that you and I can be a hero every day. Let's pray.